I need him in this. I need him in this. If there's one thing that can be said about life and living, is that life is full of the unexpected. There are things that happens to all of us in life that is truly unexpected. Not anything that we plan to happen, but just seems to happen. The unexpected sickness, the unexpected loss of a loved one, the unexpected breakup of a relationship, it all falls into the category of the unexpected. But no matter how much you plan your life and no matter how well you plan your life, you must always know how to deal with the unexpected. The unexpected is something that you can't run from, that you can't dodge, and surely you cannot hide. It is oftentimes said that life is 10% of what happens to you, but yet it is 90% of what you do with it. And so as we go through life, we not only must deal with what is planned for us, but we also must deal with what is not planned. For life is full of the unexpected. But I've also come to the conclusion that life is full of the unnerving, things that will happen in life that will shatter your world and will shake you and rattle you. There are things that will happen in our lives that will somehow put us on edge. It is an unnerving experience. And I know that we don't like to talk about it, and we don't like to acknowledge the fact that oftentimes we have more fear than we have faith. Certainly, all of us are afraid of something. You might not be afraid of everything, but I guarantee you that you are fearful of something. And so whenever that thing shows up in our lives that we are most afraid of, that what happens is that life becomes unnerving. All of us have had those unnerving experiences. But then also I've come to understand that life is also uncontrollable. There are just some things in life that you cannot control. I know we all like to be in control. We like to be able to tell people what to do, where to go, how to get there. We like to give commands, but we have to understand that although we give a command, that people don't always follow the command that we give. We must understand that there are just some things in life that you really cannot control. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how many degrees you have received, what schools you have attended. At the end of the day, there are just some things that you have no control over. And so because of that, you must learn to take the bitter as well as the sweet. So life is full of the uncontrollable. It's here in the text that I've shared with you this morning that we find that the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, that they are dealing with the unnerving, the uncontrollable, and also the unexpected. We're told that they enter into a ship, and when they enter into the ship, something begins to take place. Notice, if you will, that nothing is happening before they enter the ship, but that it is only after entering the ship that a storm comes up. And that is a reminder, my brothers and sisters, that if you want to follow Jesus, because the truth is, the reason that they are in the ship in the first place is that they are following Jesus. And what that says to us this morning is that if you're going to follow Jesus, and you're going to get into the ship, that you must realize that there's going to be some hardships in the ship. That if you're going to follow Jesus into the ship, you must understand that it might not always be hallelujah, but rather there may be some hurts and some hardships aboard the ship. If you want to get on the ship, if you're going to follow Jesus onto the ship, you must understand that you may not always feel like dancing, but rather there may be some disappointments and some dark days aboard the ship. So the Bible said that these disciples, they followed Jesus onto the ship. And I also want you to understand that Jesus did forewarn us that if we're going to follow after him, that you got to also remember that you must be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him. And so here were these disciples. They are following Jesus on board the ship. And the reason that they are following Jesus is because they are fond of him. You got to remember that there was a great attraction that existed between Jesus and his disciples. In fact, many of his disciples, they had given up a whole lot so that they might simply follow after Jesus. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they left their father's fishing business simply so that they might follow after Jesus. Levi, the tax collector, he stopped collecting taxes and he left his taxing booth simply so that he might follow after Jesus. Many of these disciples, they left family members and friends only so that they might follow after Jesus. In fact, one of them made a statement on occasion. They said, "Jesus, we have forsaken all simply so that we might follow after you." And so the only reason that they are following Jesus on board the ship is because of their fondness for Jesus. But they're also following Jesus on board the ship because of their familiarity with Jesus. Jesus was no stranger to these disciples because you must remember that they had seen Jesus perform many miracles. They saw Jesus when he went to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house and laid his hands upon her and her fever subsided. They saw Jesus as he caused lame legs to walk, deaf ears to hear, blind eyes to come open. They saw Jesus do one miracle after another. Jesus the Christ was no stranger to them, and because of their familiarity with Jesus, they have followed him onto the ship. They are following Jesus onto the ship because of their faith in Jesus. They had an enormous amount of faith in Jesus, who is the Christ. For after all, they heard the preaching of Jesus. They heard Jesus give that great sermon on the mount where Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God." They heard Jesus say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." They heard Jesus say, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." They heard Jesus say that you are the light of the world, that you are the salt of the earth, that you are a city that sits upon the hill. And because of the preaching of Jesus, their faith was energized and their faith was garnered and strengthened and made mighty in God. And so because they were their men of faith, they were willing to follow Jesus. For you do must understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so in that they heard the words of God falling from the lips of Jesus, they have followed him onto the ship. Once they get on board the ship, the storm comes. And when the storm comes, what it does is that it covers the ship. It covers everything that they were secure and sure about. For they had no doubt in their mind they were going to have a safe journey. But when they got on board the ship, the storm came and the waters covered the ship. And you know what happens in our lives is that the one thing that we are sure and certain about, that all of a sudden the storm comes. And when the storm comes, it covers the ship. Let me explain to you what I mean by that, because you might have a fairly good job, but all of a sudden the storm comes. When the storm comes, you get a layoff notice. The storm has covered the ship. You might be in a pretty good relationship, but all of a sudden you get divorce papers. What has happened is that the storm has now covered your ship. You might have pretty decent health, so you think, but then you go to the doctor's appointment and the doctor tells you something showed up on the MRI. And what has happened is that the storm has covered your ship. Here were these disciples, the storm has come. And the storm has covered their ship. And so when the storm covers the ship, the thing that happens with these disciples is that now they become confused. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to deal with this situation that has come upon them. They don't know whether to run or crawl or just what they should do now. And I want you to know that whenever the storm covers your ship, you get to that point in life where you just don't know what to do. You don't know whether to stand up or sit down. You don't know whether to go right or to go left. You don't know whether to say something or say nothing at all. You just don't know what to do. And that is simply because the storm has covered your ship. I believe there's somebody here this morning that can say, "Pastor, stop the sermon right now. The storm has covered my ship. I've had some weary days. The storm has covered my ship. I don't know what to do right now." The storm has covered your ship. And so when the storm covered their ship, they are now confused. When the storm covers their ship, these disciples are not sure what they should do. And so now the storm has conquered their faith. When they got on board the ship, these disciples were men of tremendous faith. They believed that they could move mountains. They believed that they were more than a conqueror, that there was nothing that was too great for them. But when the storm came, it conquered their faith. And I want you to know this morning that when the storm comes, it will conquer your faith. If you don't believe that it'll conquer your faith, let me give you the illustration so you might see how it plays out. Come to church on Sunday. When you arrive in the church, the choir is singing, the pastor is preaching, prayers are going up. Your faith feels strong. Leave out of the church feeling that you can conquer any mountain. Any dark cloud that rises up in your life, that surely you'll be able to deal with it. That no matter what storms come your way, that you're able to say, "I'm more than a conqueror." That's Sunday morning. But then comes Monday. And when the Monday comes, and the storm covers your ship, you forget all about what the choir sung. Forget all about the prayers that went up. Get all about the sermon that was preached. Why? Because the storm has come. And it has conquered your faith. And so here were the disciples. The storm has come. It has conquered their faith. And so when they realize where they are, they now make up their minds that they need to look to Jesus. Notice what happens. They get up and they run to where Jesus is. And they say unto Jesus, "Jesus, save us, for we are perishing." They had sense enough to look to Jesus. And I want you to know this morning that when you're going through your storm, and the storm has covered your ship, at some point you got to learn to look to Jesus. Don't look to man, don't even look to your situation, but learn to look to Jesus. Disciples, they learn to look to him. And I want you to know that it's a sad state of affairs when there are those of us that are in the middle of a storm, but we don't know how to look to Jesus. That there are those of us who are in the middle of a storm, but yet we don't know how to trust in Jesus. But what is even more of a sad state of affairs is when we're in a storm and we know that we can look to him, but yet we don't look to him. At some point, you got to be mature enough to say that I'm in the storm, but I'm going to look to Jesus. And so here were these disciples. They were able to look to Jesus. In the early days in the West, the circuit riding preachers, they had to swim their horses across the rivers. And if they fix their gaze upon the swirling waters around them, when they were crossing the swollen and overflowing rivers, they were likely to become dizzy and they would fall from their seat. And then they would be swept away by the flood. But if they fix their eye upon the trunk of a great tree on the riverbank, or upon some mighty rock, or upon the summit of a hill mountain, they row through in safety. For in the storms of life, faith gives us balance and calm and safety. But only if we fix our eyes not upon the shifting scene that surrounds us, but upon the eternal God. In other words, we must be willing to look to Jesus if you're gonna make it through. And I've come to the conclusion that many of us, that when we're going through the storms of life, we know how to look to everything else. We know how to look to everybody else but to Him, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want you to know that when you're going through the darkness of life, at some point, you got to look to Him who is able to bring light in the midst of darkness. That when you're knocked down, you've got to learn to look unto Him who is able to lift you back up again. Look to Him and live. Look to Jesus. When the storms of life have covered you up, these disciples, not only did they look to Jesus, but they listened to Jesus. Jesus stood up, and when the Lord stood, He then spoke. And He spoke to the waves and to the sea. And they obeyed the sound of His voice. And the way that I know that they listened to Him is that they then say in the text, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey the sound of His voice?" What that says to us this morning is that when the storms of life have covered you, that you have to be able to listen to Jesus. You can't afford to stop your ears. But if there was ever a time where you need to listen, you need to listen when the storms of life are raging. And I'm not saying just hear Him, but I'm saying listen to Him. Because if you listen, I declare the Lord always has something to say. But our problem is that we don't want to listen. We want His direction, but we don't want to listen to His direction. We want His help, but we don't want to listen to His help. We want Him to guide us, but we want to listen to His guidance. But if you want the Lord to guide you, lead you, and help you, at some point you got to be able to listen. The disciples, they listened. But then lastly, what they did is that they let Him do what He needed to do. I would imagine that when Jesus stood up and He began to speak to the waves and to the sea, they could have very well said to Jesus, "What are you doing? Don't do it like that." Because understanding that they had never seen this happen before, but they didn't stop Him. They did not interfere with Him. They did not keep Him from doing what He needed to do. What that says to us this morning is that when the Lord is ready to do something in your life, you may not understand it, but don't you dare stop Him. When the Lord is ready to move in your life, whatever you do, don't you interfere with what He's about to do. For there are many things that the Lord will do in our lives that we might never understand, because His way are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But if the Lord is going to do it, I'm going to let Him do it, because I need him in this. That whatever you're going through, you need him in this. If you're sick, you need him in this. If you're burdened, you need him. And you need him in this. If you're lonely and sad, you need him. And you need him in this. If you can't see your way out, you need him. And you need him in this. You need him. You need him. You need him in this. And as I said at the beginning, I don't know what your this is. But I got sense enough to know that everybody got a this. I don't know what your problem is, but everybody got a this. Because of your this, you need him. You need him. You need him in this. So that's what these disciples understood, that they needed him in what they were going through. So the storm that is raging in your life, you need him. Look to him. Listen to him. And let him. For however the Lord wants to bless me, I will be satisfied. However the Lord wants to fix my raging storm, I will be satisfied. However the Lord wants to bring me out, I will be satisfied. However the Lord picks me up, turn me around, guess what? I will be satisfied. But can't nobody do me like him? So because I know that can't nobody do me like Jesus, I will be satisfied. Simply because I need him. I need him in this.